her people. And Mordecai brings up to her that she may very well be the only person that can do anything about this trial. And now, so I want you to sit there. I want you to consider the large amount of what we would call stress. Worst case scenario, she dies and everybody else dies. Worst case scenario is pretty much the worst case scenario. Not just you, but all your people. Best case scenario, it all works out. And I no doubt she could have sat there and imagined everything in between. Have you ever been there where you are caught between worst and best case scenario and your mind is flickering through every option in between? Well, if we do this, this could happen, that could happen, and hey, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't work, but if it don't work, what are we going to do? We need to have an ability to slow the pitch down a little bit so we can better hit what's being served to us. We need to be able to take a calm couple of breaths and apply biblical wisdom. Let's take a look at how Esther approached this very difficult decision in her life. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. You know what she decided to do? She got dressed and she went to do the things she had to go do. Right? There are moments in our lives, and we've talked about this, where there's literally nothing you can do about a problem. Anybody here, you lost power this week? Oh man, did it come at a convenient time for you? Did you have stuff in the oven? Was there things, chores you had planned for that day? Did it just tip the whole table over on all your... That was miserable, wasn't it? But you know what? Power goes out. What can you do? Nothing you can do. You just kind of batten down the hatches, turn on the propane or kerosene heaters that you got, or you got a fireplace, start a fire. I did a really good job in my fireplace. I love a nice hot fire. I didn't have a big fire. I had a hot fire. And I found out that in my basement, the stack goes all the way down. Went to go take my propane heater down there to keep my pipes warm, opened it up, and I got hit with a flood of heat. And I go, well, that's nice. That's nice. I took my heater, put it back out in the garage. We're happy. You know, it was a good day. You know, appreciate all of you who reached out to us. Appreciate all of you that helped us and tried to help us. Some things you just can't do anything about. You worry yourself till you're sick, but it won't turn the electricity back on. So what do? You batten down the hatches. You do the best you can. Now, I found myself in kind of a different position that kind of shows the opposite. Yesterday, I had the good foolishness to get out on that road and go down to see our parents. Because Danielle, she was pining to see her family. And of course, my mom will kill me if I don't. So I head on down there. And I got to Mount Morris Road headed towards the freeway. And I was telling myself, this is bad. My heart rate starts going up. I could feel my blood pressure in my ears. The children in the back are quiet. That's when you know it's bad, when all the kids go quiet. You know, that's when you know it's bad. When dad's so tense in the front seat, just quietly white-knuckling the steering wheel, when everybody else in the car can feel it and they grow silent just to let dad work behind the wheel. And we're just doing that. Oh, this is dumb. Shouldn't do this. Shouldn't do this. I should turn around. You know what I did? I did not turn around. And I got down there and I came back. You know what? The roads on 75 weren't that bad, but there were some fools out there cutting around. You know how people do. I've gotten me a big old truck, and my big old truck don't care about ice. And then later on, you find that big old truck wrapped around the gate. One guy whizzed by us. He got, you know how sometimes they're the wire type parts of the gate? Got himself caught right up in that wire-type fence. Got his bumper all kind of intermingled with it. And he's just kind of sitting there slamming his door back up when we got to him. I go, well, yep, glad you're okay. But, yeah, you almost caused that for us. But I did. I got all the way down there. I saw the family. Saw people I haven't seen in a while. I got all the way. You know what conclusion I came to? I should have turned back around. You know, we could have had that party on Tuesday and been just happy. But no, he's just, there's something I can do about it, but I'm not doing it. Sometimes we catch ourselves in that position too. Hey, there's an issue going on. I'm not satisfied with my relationship with God right now, but I'm going to continue to do nothing about it. I am not satisfied with the problems that are happening in X, Y, or Z. I mean, pick your poison. Whatever's going wrong, you're not happy with it. And you're telling yourself, I am not happy with this problem. And there are things that you can do, but you just aren't doing them. Well, guess what? Nothing is going to change for the better. Sure, the Lord might finally, you know, say, all right, well, that's enough. Let them try to drown. They're about to drown themselves. I better run in real quick. But you need to start pedaling. You need to start moving. We need to start fixing and addressing the things. So what did Esther do? We see in verse 1, Esther put on her good clothes. And she got to work. I had this habit in school. I would wear my Sunday clothes on bad days. And bad days, I say that editorially. If it was an exam day, I'd put a tie on. And everybody thought I was weird. Well, why would you do that? Because if you feel good, put you in the right mindset. I'm here to do business. And everybody thought I was weird, but I got a kick out of it. Right? Okay, final exams. Put that on. I'd get dressed up. Matt, you look ridiculous. Yeah, but you know what? I got this helps. This helps right here, so leave me alone. Right? When I'd have big days at work, when we knew that people were coming up, I'd break out the good ties. I'd break out the good pants. I'd shine the shoes a little bit. Why? Because I know that I've got to do something today that I don't want to do. So you know what? There are days in your life where you got to put on your good clothes and you got to handle some business. Right? Now, in her particular case, she needed her royal apparel. Sometimes the work that we need to put on is a friendly smile. A warm hand outstretched to fix a problem with relationships. Sometimes what we've got to put on is some work clothes to get the things done that we've been putting off. Sometimes it's, let your imagination run wild. You got to put some stuff on to fix your problems. God has given you all the tools you need. Put them on and solve the problems, or else they will never find resolution, right? Well, I'll just kind of be patient and see what happens. Well, shouldn't you also be doing this? Oh, well, I could, but I'm not going to, you know. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go out there and I'm going to plant seeds in the ground and we'll see what happens. Well, aren't you going to water them? No, just going to wait to see what happens. Well, are you going to go out there and weed them? No. I believe that God will deliver. And all of a sudden I get these flashes in my head of the devil having Jesus up in a high place saying, jump, he'll catch you. Don't you tempt the Lord. Right? We see in Genesis how the Lord wants us to handle certain things concerning gardening, don't we? We're supposed to sweat. We're supposed to toil. It's supposed to hurt a little bit, right? Well, don't you want to go out there and do it the way that it works? Nah, we'll see. Hey, listen, you're having this big argument going on between you and so. Have you talked to them about it? No, I'll let them come to me. Well, that's not going to clear anything up. They're going to sit there and wait for you. You're going to sit there and wait for them. And both of you are lying. You don't really want to have a conversation. You're not waiting for the other one. You're just avoiding it. Get it done. Let's get this over with. Right? Things go a whole lot better when we're able to sit there and get things put to bed and handle things properly. So put your good clothes on. Verse 2. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered it, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee, And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king hath said. Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. And when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Now, as we continue to go on, I want to look at verse 9. We see Haman, he is lifted up, he is proud, he is haughty. He is often the type of struggle in our lives, right? Each and every one of us, we have had a Haman who has worked against us, and a Haman doesn't necessarily need to be a person. We're kind of going through that right now. We had some stomach issues earlier in the week, and they went away, and we thought, oh, we're all good. And then we had somebody get sick last night, somebody get sick this morning, and then somebody gets sick on the way to the church. And we go, oh no. So we got everybody trussled up over there, crayons and things to draw on all out, while they're over there hoping that they don't need to go streaking by the back of the church and head to the bathrooms. But That's awful for us. I'll just be honest. That's hard. How do I be the pastor? How do I do these things? How does my wife do the music? And by the way, now we've got this. Sometimes there's hard things, and they just show up. And we're like, hey, that's not fair. That's not fun. You know, the car ain't working right for you. There's issues inside the house with something not working. Whatever it is. We have these things and they come against us and they take from us out of their pride and out of their anger. Maybe it's a bad boss. Maybe it's an ugly neighbor. Whatever it is, we've got Hamans. But what are we going to do about them? Right? You know, it doesn't take much to turn an enemy into a friend. It doesn't take much to turn a stranger into a friend. Right? What do we need? We need to follow the examples that the Bible has given us. Most often than not, we are so concerned about not wanting confrontation, we don't realize that there might not have to be a confrontation. All right, let's go to chapter 6, verse 1. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthanah and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servants said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. And Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to honor more than to myself? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. So again, I want you to look at Haman. Have you met anybody in your life who's a lot like Haman? The best is mine, and the most wonderful is mine. And you know, it's not just that, but Haman didn't just have this arrogance. He didn't just have this selfishness and this reckless abandon towards people's lives, but Haman had the ability to get it done. He didn't just seek to build gallows for Mordecai. What did he do? He built gallows. He had sway. He had power. And we have those moments. You know, we look at our government today. It is easy for a Christian to forget that they are not a politician. Nor are they Rush Limbaugh come again. Now, again, I'm not talking about being ignorant to what politics is doing, but we've both seen people get so distraught and so I get frustrated and sick over what's going on in politics, right? We get a Republican in there and oh, and we get a Democrat in there and oh. And we believe that the world has changed overnight based on which one of these people we put up there in the White House. Well, did you see this and did you see that? And we get obsessed over these things and we get broken up over these things. And after a while, it's the only thing we ever talk about. You know, we don't have a lot of it around here, but I've seen it in places where no matter what, brother, I haven't seen you in years, brother. How you been? Oh, I'm good. You know, not that Biden's trying to make it not good. And I tell you what, this and the government. Why don't you tell me about your kids? Tell me about your church. Tell me about how you're doing. How's your health? Right? If the first, I don't wake up in the morning going, man, I want to talk about Joe Biden today. Man, I will talk about Joe Biden. I'm going to make my jokes. I'm going to say my piece. I'm going to tell you the truth. But I tell you what, it should not be the dominant thing on my list. The gospel is not the Republican Party and how to join it. It's Jesus Christ. But we look at these people and they're doing some awful things. I hate living in a country where abortion is legal. I hate what they're doing to gun laws. I hate what they're doing in the schools. I hate a whole bunch of stuff of what they're doing. And they're proud and they're haughty. And they look at folks like you and me and they think that we're dumb. You know, I had that recently. Well, you really think your wife is going to do a better job at teaching your kids than somebody who went to school for it? Well, my wife's got 2 degrees. We've got resources that the teachers at the school don't have. Also, we have the ability to protect our kids. Also, we have the ability to teach them things that make sense. We don't teach them what to think. We teach them how to think, right? So that way, when they can look at it, they've got some criticalness. So when they go out, they're not just regurgitating what mommy and daddy said. They understand the wisdom of what the father has to say. That's my goal. That's my hope. And if they abandon it, they abandon it. But at least they got it, right? They may depart from it, but they may try to depart from it, but they're stuck with it all their days. Once I give it to them, they're going to hear that voice the rest of their lives. Right? So, yeah, I absolutely do kind of believe that. Well, and if my wife didn't have 2 degrees, I still think she'd do a way better job than some of the teachers I had growing up. I really do. I tell you what, there's nothing like a good mom. There's nothing like a mom that cares and loves and concerns. I'll take that over 9 degrees any day. Any day. One that cares and has concern for the child. You ever have a teacher that just you were convinced hated you? Man, I had one, but I don't think she just hated me. She didn't like anybody. There's just some days you just kind of wanted to go up to her and say, hey, listen, you know, you could change careers. You ain't got to do this. You kids, and I can't handle this, and blah, blah. And she was just on tirades. I could have gotten a minor in why kids are awful from this lady's teachings. It was awful. Hey, listen, you anytime you want to go and do literally anything else, I think you should. I really think you should. No, I'll take the love of a mom over a master's, a doctorate, a bachelor's. I don't know all the degrees. But I tell you what, I'd rather a mother's love and concern. And hey, I'll tell you this. I hate the fact that the government and these people believe that we are dumb just because we're not them. You know, these politicians, you know, you hear them, you hear kind of like the background talk of what they do every now and then when something slips out and how they talk about the constituents. Oh, they're dumb. They can't take care of themselves. We got to think for them. They can't think the way. Like the dumbest thing that we are, the dumbest thing that we may have ever done was put you in office. You better be grateful for that stupidity because it's how you got there, right? And you think of these Nancy Pelosi's and these AOC's. You know, well, a lot of people, they're not capable of coming up to the level of thinking that we are. Yeah, and aren't you glad? Because if those people could think, they never would have picked you. But again, they're haughty. They're awful. Our current government reminds me so much of Haman. Right? Well, if anybody's the best, we are the best. I tell you what, if the economy tanks, it doesn't matter. We've got our coffers full. We've got our bunkers full. We got our pantries full. We are set no matter what happens to you plebeians down here. And it's hurtful and it's awful. And you see this pride, you see this prejudice in them. You see their plans and how their plans are scheduled and set up. I was telling Danielle something yesterday. We were looking at that Twins pizza place. It wasn't yesterday, it was a few days ago. And she says, ooh. She goes, they got stuffed crust pizza. And I go, did you know who invented stuffed crust pizza? She goes, who? I go, the government. My mother-in-law, three Christmases ago, got me a book filled with random facts and nonsense. It might actually be called Random Facts and Nonsense. But one of the things on there is, you know how the government, they offset costs for things. They give the farmers money for things, right? So they're putting in all of these, and I can't remember the word for it, but they pay out all this money to these farmers to produce certain things. So wheat, milk, things like that. That's why we've got a lot of the weird foods that we've got on the, you know what I'm saying? That's why we've got Doritos-flavored taco shells, because we just create wheat. We just need to get rid of it somehow, right? Wheat and sugar, we gotta pour it out. They needed something to do with all the milk that they were subsidizing. So one of the things they did is they got a committee together, and stuffed crust pizza was one of the ideas that they came out with to be able to produce more or find a place to put more wheat and more milk that they were subsidizing. Now, I'm not saying that it's evil. It's still delicious. But now you know where it came from. But I thought about that. Like, why on earth would we do that? Because we need to help them. So here's 19 different varieties of chips, right? We need to help them. So let's decide what medications they can or cannot have. It's kind of weird. So you look at their plans. And you kind of see the motive behind your plans, and you go, that's messed up. that's really bad. So here's Ahasuerus. He wants to raise Mordecai up. Here's Haman. He's confused. He thinks the king wants to raise him up. He's given him all these ideas of stuff that he can do. However, verse 10, then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail or all that thou hast spoken. Oopsie. You know what's funny is we get so worked up about the government. We get so worked up about the neighbor on the street. We get all upset at what's happening over there in Lansing. We get all bothered. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Nail biting, panicking, sweating in the face. You know, God could just turn the dime real fast. He could flip it around so quickly. We are worried about things that are out of our control, but are so firmly in his control, it's a joke. I remember driving in the car. I was thinking about this yesterday as I was driving. I remember driving in my car, and I firmly believe that no matter what was going on outside, my dad was the best driver on earth. And it could be snowing. Like, it could be snowing, a volcano could be erupting, lava on the road, 14 deer in zigzag pattern. And my dad could whip through it without losing a 1 mile an hour in speed. You know, just you have these big, my dad's 10 foot tall and bulletproof points of view. And I remember sitting there, my kids in the back seat, remembering I was about that age when I thought my dad was just the most amazing driver. I still think he's a good driver. That's never changed. But I remember sitting there going, looking at my kids in the rearview mirror going, I wonder if my dad ever felt like this. I wonder if it was ever like this for him. I've never asked him, but I wonder if he was up here white-knuckled and gritting his teeth and, oh, no, what am I doing? Well, I'm in the back thinking, oh, he's 10 foot tall and bulletproof. And man, you feel so small sometimes, but you know what? We may feel small compared against what we're facing, but we got to remember the amazing element that's in everything we do when we're obeying God. And that's the Lord himself. He's the one thing that Haman's out there can't account for. You see, Haman was playing his game. Haman thought he had it figured out. Haman thought he was setting himself up for a major victory. But you know what God has the ability to do? Swipe that right off the table. And while Mordecai is fasting, he's in sackcloth, while Esther is sitting there praying that everything go well, God was in the mid-game of something he started long ago, before any of them were aware of a conflict, before any of them were aware of a problem. When you get into stressful situations, one of the things that should calm you is the fact that God knows every element of it. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what he's going to do in the situation. He knows that though you may have no power or no control over what happens, he knows the course of the healing of your heart, the strengthening of your mind, right? The bettering of you as a person. He knows what will happen. And we must trust in him. Want to go to verse 11. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him in on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, "Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor." And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house mourning and having his head covered because he was embarrassed. He was embarrassed. Child of God, there's going to be a lot of people come for you. There's going to be a lot of situations, probably more situations than people in this day and age, because God's been good to withhold so much persecution. But there's going to be a lot of situations come for you to bring you stress that God is going to humiliate in the process. Yeah, and as Joseph turned to his brothers and said, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good. You thought this would break me. You thought that this would make me turn from God. You thought that this would put me stuck in my bed for days on end, feeling awful about life, the world, and myself. But what God did with it instead was he energized me. He strengthened me. He turned it into a great deliverance as well as a great blessing." Chapter 7, verse 1. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, "What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom." Then Esther the queen answered and said, "If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we have been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage." Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, "Who is he and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so?" And Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is the wicked Haman." Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, "Will he force the queen also before me in the house?" And the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And of course, as we know, verse 10, "And so they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified." When God works in your situation, he works it to completion. You are his child. And while there are matters of brokenheartedness and hurt that take time and take time, they take healing, they take space. There are many a battle that are more like battles that the Lord will fight for. There will be bosses that find themselves fired. There will be supervisors that find themselves written up for the way that they treat you. there will be family members that will one day have to stand before God and answer for the things that they did and said about you and to you. It will happen. And though that brings us no delight, we see where God brings deliverance. Things that are set up against us that God works out to completion. But folks, we have to remember, it started with Esther first putting her good clothes on. Sometimes you are the answer that God is going to use to solve the problem. And when we stand up and we solve the things that can be solved, God is going to bless. Now, it may not be the way we want. Sometimes it won't be with Haman hanging high. Sometimes it'll just be peace and calm assurance. And sometimes it'll just be comfort during the hard times. But God will deliver. And as we deal with our stresses and we deal with our frustrations, it is important for us to remember two things. Number one, when you can get to work, when there are things that you can do about it, do something about it. Do something about it. But don't ever think, number two, don't ever think that you do it alone. That you do it alone. There are struggles that I as a husband will have that perhaps my wife will know nothing about. Things that I've got to correct in myself that are nobody else's business. And you know what I'm glad for? I'm not alone to correct it. That God gives me His word, gives me His wisdom, and His compassion to help me fix those things. As a father, there are issues that will arise. Both failures on my part, or perhaps on the other side, things that just happen, like what we're dealing with this morning. Hey, what do we do? Well, we're going to do the best we can with what we got, and this is what we're going to do. And we're going to smile because there ain't no points in frustrating ourselves. And you know what's going to happen? God steps into that situation and He helps. You know, I was sitting there last night. Well, not last night, a couple nights ago when the power went out. All right, Lord, bring her back on. Nope. We were having a hard time getting the fire going. All right, Lord, get that fire. Help me get that fire going because the fire won't go. And you know what? The power did not come back on for a good long while. And that fire kicked up. You know when the fire kicked up? Because I gave up on the fire. You know when the fire kicked up? About a half hour before the power went out. You know what I mean? Didn't go by my time. It didn't go the way I wanted, but there it is. All of our lives are so much like that. This is what we know God wants. This is what we know God is saying. So we do what we know we're supposed to do. We take care of what we're supposed to take care of. And never forget that God is a part of every step. When we honor Him and we do what He wants, right? Not as a child says, well, you do what I want and I'll play. No, God's only going to do something right. Understand? God's only going to do something right. So we do things His way, the right way. And there He'll be fighting alongside of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for the way that You look after us. We're grateful for the love that You show us, Lord, the way You step into our battles and You fight them with us. Lord, I just pray that You help us to remember these things during the small stresses, during the big stresses. Lord, help us to understand what to do with this thing we call stress. Lord, we give it to You, we serve You, we obey You. And Lord, we find so many solutions along the way when we do that. For its name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.